Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is November the 29th, 2022. And I have the honor to have Professor James Spetzer on with me. And I'm just going to let Jim pick it up from here. But before he does, I would ask everybody to come to my website, StuWebb.com, take a look at the breaking news page, start getting educated, because I'm trying to do some blasts from the past as well as the current stuff where you understand the crime syndicates have taken over America. But that said, Professor James Spetzer, welcome.
Well, Stu, Twitter is just going crazy. Elon Musk really is fostering freedom of speech. They were trying to get Alex Jones on there. I actually would welcome that because I think Alex stirs up the pot a lot. And they were saying, Musk was implying he was keeping him off because of what he had to say about Sandy Hook, and they were pointing out that Musk had let me back on at Jim Spetzer, and I sent him a tweet saying Alex didn't get it wrong, that and included a photograph of Noah Posner celebrating his 8th birthday, which is pretty good for a kid who died at 6. So I included a photograph of Noah Posner from Lenny Posner's private blog, which is showing him with 8 candles on the cake when he's supposed to have died. And that's just one indication of his being open. Tom Pitton is pointing out that Jean Pierre, the secretary, press secretary, saying we're keeping an eye on the Elon Musk Twitter. No doubt they are, because so much truth is breaking out there. Carrie Lake from the War Room, I found out today I have no choice but to vote aye, and I'll be arrested and charged with a felony, said Ron Gould of the Mojave County Board of Supervisors, told him to be arrested. So Mojave certified under duress. This is wrong. He should just violate it and have to go to court and make the case. Marjorie Taylor Greene pointing out that Sam Brinton is a deputy secretary of the Department of Energy, and I understand his concern with our nuclear waste, has been praised as being a non-binary identifying transvestite, has been charged with felony theft for stealing a woman's bag at a Minneapolis-St. Paul airport. I mean, how they get these people into government is beyond me. Here he is with lipstick and a bald head and a woman's attire. Josh Hawley pointing out that the White House isn't daring to offend Beijing. Where the reporter asks, does the White House support the Chinese people's effort to regain personal freedom in light of these lockdowns? And John Kirby for the Department of State says, the White House supports the right of peaceful protest. In other words, they're not going to condemn the tyrannical Chinese government for their despotic policies. Britt Humes, on a Wall Street Journal article, California's homelessness problem pits Governor Newsom against mayors. Britt Hume tweets, maybe homeless programs aren't the answer. The number of homeless people in California has grown roughly 15% since 2019, even as Mr. Newsom saw the largest increase in funding for homeless programs in the state history. You got Benny Johnson. Never forget what the Republican leadership was doing instead of winning the Senate for Republicans in 2022, and you got a photograph of Mitch McConnell and other Republican leaders with Zelensky, and they've been taking off their ties. Tom Pitton again. No patient can truly give informed consent to radical mutilating procedures, experimental hormone treatments promoted by transgender extremists. And these procedures may be allowed by law or medical bodies as an urgent failure that must be addressed. My issue with this is that they're allowing these things to happen to children who can't make these decisions. You talk about the absence of informed consent with children. Then we got a tweet here about new kids show from Disney. We love you, Satan. We love you, Satan. New kids show from Disney. Keep in mind, this made it through the editing process into the final product. Here's another. Cynthia McKinney, whom I admire. You all are Palestinians now. If you don't control your own central bank, then you're a Palestinian. If you don't see it, then you're not only blind, you're part of the problem. You are a Amalek. Pretty good there. That's all on Twitter, and there's much, much more. I'm pretty impressed with what's going on here. It's become quite a public square, Stu, and as it should be.
Well, it should be. And this Disney thing goes back to Denver, the ownership there. And I might add that that was the ex-in-law of mine that transferred the assets to Larry Mizell, who's in control now, when he died in 2004. Now, Mizell is one of the 12 disciples of Satan, they call him. And they're like the Rockefellers, Rothschild, equal. They own and control the economy. They own the largest bank in the United States called BlackRock, Blackstone, which owns the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. And they also own HSBC Bank, which is the largest in the world. Now, he bought Walt Disney, Leonard Melman did, back in 72 or 92 with a raid that Daddy Bush and him did on all the Hollywood. They took over the NBC, CBS, ABC. They had the Cocaine News Network with Ted Turner, Fox News. They had everything. So they control all the mainstream media. Now, here's the point. Nancy Pelosi was paid a bribe in 2004. I look back at the date on this. 2004 for a House vote that she did not do. She had sponsored it. And then she turns around and reversed herself. And they paid her off with Disney stock through a trust to her husband and gave him a winery in Napa, California, and stock in Disney. Now, it's public information about the trust and about her husband, but I'll be putting that up there. That's how she got her bribe from the New World Order, Jim. But go ahead.
Oh, Stu, that's good stuff.
But Disney, to be putting a movie out like that, it doesn't surprise me. It does not surprise me with these people are satanic in nature to the max. They're New World Order. They want to kill everybody. They want 2/3 of the people on the planet dead. They want 1/3 to serve them. But go ahead. I'll let you finish your report, please.
Well, Stu, there's a lot going on. There appears to be a lawsuit before the Supreme Court that's not getting much attention. Which is today Supreme Court case number 22-380, so that would be filed in 2022, Brunson versus Adams defendants, Joseph Biden, Kamala Harris, and 388 members of the House of Representatives and the Senate from the lawsuit. On January 6, 2021, the 117th Congress held a proceeding and debate in Washington, D.C., for the purpose of counting votes under the 2020 presidential election for president and vice president of the United States under Amendment 12. During this proceeding, over 100 members of Congress claimed factual evidence that the said election was rigged. The refusal or response to investigate this congressional claim, the enemy, is an act of treason. Further, due to the fact this case represents a national security breach on an unprecedented level, like never before seen, seriously damaging and violating Brunson and coincidentally affecting every citizen of the United States. Moreover, among other points, voting is the greatest power an individual can exercise in a republic, and is Brunson's personal voice and the way he can protect his personal constitution, protected rights in the U.S. Constitution. When the allegations of a rigged election came forward, the respondents had a duty under the law to investigate it or be removed from office. Here's another. It's an uncontestable fact that the response committed fraud and treason, breaching our national security, as factually alleged in Bronson's complaint, thus adhering to a domestic enemy that continues to breach our national security at an alarming rate on a daily basis. This national security breach is having the same end result as an act of war. The place into power, whom the respondents want, which is Biden, Brunson moves this court with its powers to order the trial court of this case to immediately grant to Brunson the damages he seeks. This is necessary to immediately secure our national security without any further delay. It was a pretty damn interesting, Stu. I don't know how it's going to proceed, but apparently it's there before the court.
That's very interesting. You know, Jim, I look back at this. If I was educated like I am now when I was in the Marine Corps, I would have convinced the whole 4th Marine Division to take over the government, put them all in jail. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's that bad. I mean, we got active military that needs to start thinking about this. needs to start thinking about how to shut this down. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, besides the American people. I mean, you're an ex-Marine Corps captain in Vietnam and the whole bit. I mean, I respect you highly for your position you had.
There's something else, too. We got Fauci being deposed here last Friday, and the Zero Hedge has published what we know so far. There's a transcript isn't yet available. Reporters were not allowed. But when the two attorneys general brought the case, we're learning a fair amount. The man who hears a comment from Jeff Randley, observing that Fauci mostly stonewalled detailed questions by answering he had no clear memory of details that would shed light on his involvement. While it was amazing to spend 7 hours with Dr. Fauci, the man who single-handedly wrecked the U.S. economy based upon the science, only to discover that he can't recall practically anything dealing with his COVID response. Despite hundreds of pages, many public statements seem to confirm that the White House and many government agencies work very closely with Google, Facebook, Twitter, and others to control the narrative for the better part of 2 years. Eric Schmidt, the Attorney General of Missouri and now Senator-elect, brought the suit along with the Attorney General of Louisiana, tweeting some takeaways. Fauci knew the lab leak theory had merit, but it had come back to him and it sought immediately to discredit it. He defended lockdowns. The rest of us don't have the ability to determine what's best for ourselves. In the Fauci depot this week, the court reporter sneezed. Fauci wanted her to wear a mask. This is the mentality in November 2022 of the guy who locked down our country and ruined countless lives and livelihoods. The events followed suit. Dissent was censored in America. Never again. Fauci was apparently willing to base his lockdown advocacy on the observation of a single guy, relying on reports from a dictator. This is an assistant to Fauci by the name of Lane, whom he sent to, went off to China, Clifford Lane, and came back with a report about the lockdowns. And they were so extreme, they were even welding the doors of Chinese citizens into their apartments so they couldn't get out. Really astonishing stuff. Days after Lane returned, the WHO published his report praising China's strategy. China's uncompromising and rigorous use of non-pharmaceutical measures, lockdowns to contain transmission of the COVID virus and multiple states provide vital lessons for the global response. This is all completely insane. Lockdown spread from China to the West as a troubling number of Western apologists looked to the Chinese Communist Party COVID response for guidance, and the whole world was locked down. From the beginning, the evidential basis for this global policy catastrophe was always paper thin. We're now living in the aftermath. Jim Hoff of Gateway Pundit, who's a very good guy, added direct quotes from Fauci. John Sauer, questioning him, and Mr. Lane, after returning from the trip, said the Chinese were managing this in a very structured, organized way. Yes, did you discuss Mr. Lane's experience on the trip with him when he got back from the WHO trip? Fauci replies, the answer is I did. Dr. Lane was very impressed about how, from a clinical public health standpoint, the Chinese were handling the isolation, the contact tracing, the building of facilities to take care of people. And that's what I believe he meant when he said they were managing this in a very structured, organized way. So, he's asked, he drew the conclusion it might have to be extreme, in his words, measures to mandate social distancing to bring the outbreak under control, correct, Fauci? That's what this is implying, yes. He did discuss with me that Chinese had a very organized way of trying to contain the spread in Wuhan. Didn't get a chance to go to Wuhan, but he was in Beijing. He mentioned they had very organized, well-regimented ways to sell it. So we had kind of a positive reaction to that. There might be lessons learned for the United States. Fauci, I believe Dr. Lee came to the conclusion that when you have a widespread respiratory disease that is very common in a very common and effective way to curtail the rabid disease is by implementing social distancing measures. Dr. Lane is a very astute clinician, and I have every reason to believe his evaluation of the situation was accurate and correct. This is in spite of the fact that there was no evidence to suggest that those policies of lockdown were going to be effective, or that social distancing, keeping so many feet away from one another, had any effect. Hoffman made some observations. Fauci is a skillful liar. He lies when he feels he can get away with it, when he feels there's no meaningful consequences. He frequently lied, unless and until he was confronted with alternative facts. He claimed he had no knowledge of a communication team, didn't coordinate with social media companies. He continued to push the now-debunked assertion that COVID was a naturally occurring virus. He refused to define gain-of-function research, saying it was too broad a term to define. Fauci is a hypochondriac. In a bizarre and stunning segment, Fauci blew off some of his frustration on the poor court reporter who, when they sneezed, and he scolded the court reporter, "What's wrong with you? Do you have some sort of respiratory illness? Because of the year of COVID, I'm concerned about being near you." Turned out that he is a hypochondriac, and the idea this guy should be in charge of infectious allergies and so forth is ridiculous. The whole lockdown that brought our calamity to our economy appears to have been flimsy, ill-supported, based on the Chinese model, completely inappropriate for the United States, and of course violated all the constraints of the past in dealing with pandemics where you secure or quarantine the sick. But in this case, they were securing and quarantining the healthy. It was just absurd. He also argued that hydroxychloroquine was dangerous and had toxic side effects, claiming it was ineffective in treating COVID. Couldn't cite a single study to support his claim, but rejected 371 studies on HCQ and its efficacy in treating the disease when he was presented with a list. He admitted he got his idea of the lockdown from the communist Chinese, who implemented their extreme lockdown in January 2020. This is just horrific. This is our worst nightmare, that this guy was in this position to make these decisions. I'm startled, but not surprised, because we've seen it coming. We're simply getting Fauci to admit that he was incompetent of carrying the responsibilities, and that the whole nation has suffered the consequences of his incompetence.
I'm surprised the guy's still breathing and walking the streets of America and the planet, that nobody has taken him out yet. That's my own opinion.
That may not endure much longer. Here's an interesting development. Mike Lindell is going to run for the chairman of the Republican Party. With all my due diligence and prayer, I'm 100% running for the RNC chair against Rhoda McDaniel. It's going to change real fast. We're going to get our country right really quick. That he has garnered the support of RNC donors and state donors intends to transform the Republican Party toward backing America First candidates like Kerry Lake and Mark Fincham. They raised money, tens of millions, and they didn't do one thing about our election. He's talking about the RNC, highlighting instances of brazen widespread voter fraud. Lindell doubled down on his criticism of the GOP for its handling of the 2018, 2020, and 2022 elections in a subsequent interview with CBS. "You need a different input to get a different output. That's business 101, he told the publication. A staunch Trump supporter, Lindell said he made his decision to run, irrespective of the former president's endorsement. I didn't call him on this. This is my deal. I would hope I have his support, but that's not going to sway me either way. He's investing his own money toward investigating the fraudulent 2020 election. He's been sued by Dominion and Smartmatic for defamation," which, of course, there's no falsity in his claim, so the defamation ought not to uphold in court if it's properly conducted, but I've been in courts where they were not properly conducted, so we can't take anything for granted. "Canceled by major retailers, retaliated against by the Biden Justice Department, which represents anything but justice. On September 13, the Stasi FBI raided Lindell outside of a Hardee's, seized his mobile devices, including the phones he used to run his hearing aid and operated business. Brought on five businesses and a partner with Lindell backed out of the deal after learning of the FBI's involvement. Then he On September 21st, he filed a lawsuit against the FBI for violating his constitutional right to lawfully detain his devices. Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray listed as defendants. That's all good stuff. Mike Lindell would be a terrific head for the Republican Party, because the way things stand right now, it's run by a bunch of wimps who aren't making major issues out of what's going on here.
Now, Jim, Mike Lindell, I respect him highly. My Pillow out in Minneapolis, and the guy has really brought so much forth. Now, I want to add something that people should get behind him and support him. But I want to add that on my website, and it was dated November the 25th, just a few days ago, Dominion Smartmatic Software Using Voter Fraud 2020, a U.S. government Israeli telephone and internet company. Now, folks, go in and take a look at that. I spent 2 or 3 days running that damn thing. And it goes back to Denver, Colorado, where it was originally incorporated by Daddy Bush's CI counsel, Norman Brownstein, and controlled first by Leonard Melman, then now it's controlled by the Walton Family Trust at Little Rock, Arkansas, Dominion is, and the voting machines and the software. Now, it was very important to understand in both the elections since the 1994, that they've had the Dominion voting machines that they can take and steal your vote. Take a look at the evidence that I put up there on Dominion and Smartmatic, dated 11/25. You will blow your mind to see how this network works. Anyway, go ahead, Jim.
Well, that's all wonderful, Stu. Yeah, that's excellent. Well, we got Biden, you know, now that basically because the Republicans have retaken the House, so it should have been by an enormous margin. In fact, James Carville said that they had saved 57 House seats because of Trump, which is bullshit. What they're admitting is that they stole 57 House seats from the Republicans by manipulating the vote, which is overwhelming evidence. And actually, the 57 seats isn't all that surprising. I mean, Newt Gingrich was predicting picking up 5 seats in the Senate and 45 or 50 in the House, and I was predicting 3 or 4 in the Senate anyway, and even more in the House. Barack Obama in his first midterm lost 62 seats. So, I mean, 57 isn't all that extraordinary. Barack Obama didn't have to deal with the heavy water that Biden was bearing with this, you know, inflation growing, the economy in a shambles, millions of migrants pouring over the border, energy dependence, you know, flirting with a nuclear war with Russia, all this other stuff, as well as being a laughingstock himself personally, cognitively incompetent. We had major groups moving from the Democrats to the Republicans, Catholics en masse because they didn't like the extreme position on abortion, Hispanics, not only because of abortion, where most Hispanics are Catholic, but also because of the border flood. You had white suburban women, 15 favoring the Republicans by 15 points and expressing their preference for Trump over Biden, where white suburban women represent 20% of the electorate. It's not even possible the Democrats could have won this election legitimately, Stu. All of it is just calamitous. And the problem ultimately for the nation is the following. I mean, we're on the wrong track because we have periodic election built into the Constitution. There's a mechanism there for setting things right by means of this mechanism. But when it's perverted and you stay on the wrong track, then frustration grows as remedies aren't introduced and we get an extremist agenda, which is what is being promoted here by Biden and his corrupt allies. Where JFK observed that those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. They are pushing and pushing, and they're preventing peaceful reform from taking place, too. My concern here is that we are reaching a critical point where the country is going to fall apart.
Well, we need to all get involved, and I posted up on General Flynn, was interviewed, and very few interviews have you seen on him. And he was my friend Super Spook Otis Johnson. I had the honor to salute General Flynn by putting Otis on an airplane with him up in Grand Island, Nebraska, where they flew into the Bluffdale base out there. But Juan Savin had interviewed him on, and General Flynn, I put it up there, State of the Republic. Now, General Flynn says that people need to get involved because we know that Dominion, we know the voter fraud, the mail-in ballots, all this is corrupt, and that the government's corrupt. And it came out during the conference between Jim Jordan and Comer about the fact that the FBI was influenced in the election, the guy running the FBI up in Washington, and they got 14 FBI whistleblowers. Now, as posted up there, too, about the news conference, you mentioned the last radio show. But General Flynn said, get involved. Get past the elections. You got school boards that are causing problems. You have commissioners, county commissioners and their meetings, their city, your mayors and city hall and all the other, the meetings, and they're passing things that are illegal. They're doing the illegal activity, and the people need to get involved. Get out there and get involved. And that's what it amounts to. If we don't do this, we are going to end up in a physical confrontation. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, too. I'm very concerned. And get this, because of that prospect, I think Biden's pushing for a ban on what he calls assault weapons. AR-15, they aren't assault weapons, which are fully automatic. He's claiming that allowing semiotic weapons to be purchased is sick. What an a-hole. This guy's ridiculous. During his Thanksgiving vacation, visiting a fire station on Nantucket Island, he spoke with reporters attacking semi-automatic weapons, most handguns, which automatically reload after you fire a round, are semi-automatic. So he's really talking about massive bans on guns here, which is the last thing we want in those circumstances. He's going to try to do it. He's got to make that assessment as I get in and start counting votes. He's going to call for a ban on all semi-automatic weapons. This is just lunatic. It's unclear how Biden plans to enact such a ban because Republicans are taking control of the House in January. Unless he were to manage to convince enough Republican congressmen to sign up to such a legislation, which would be turning against the will of their own voter base, any ban on semi-automatic weapons would be dead on arrival in a GOP-controlled House. Nevertheless, he repeatedly pledged to ban so-called assault weapons. It's just ludicrous. He just doesn't understand what he's talking about, but then again, he's just a puppet. He's an absolute manipulated. Barack Obama appears to be among those who are manipulating him behind the scenes. If you just envision George Soros as the president of the United States and you get a sense of what's going on here, it's disgusting beyond words.
It is. And, you know, it's just not the Democratic Party. I mean, it's so infiltrated and so dirty, but the Republicans as well. I can point to probably 6 out of every 10 Republicans who are New World Order. They are. They're pushing this New World Order agenda, but yet they'll say something else publicly. But behind the scenes, they're doing it. Now, I've come to know a lot of people in the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, the DEA, Customs, a lot of people, whistleblowers of the past. And they pointed out to me how bad it really is. And it's sick, folks. You have to really listen between the lines, question these people, and see how that they really operate. Now, I think that Congressman Jim Jordan and James Comer on the Biden crime family investigation that was played on C-SPAN, it's on my website, on 11, that's November the 18th is when I posted it. And you go in there and listen to the whole interview. Their statements. Now, they found, I think it was 10 crimes, money laundering, and I mean a form of espionage and everything else involving Joe Biden and involving his son, Hunter Biden, who I thought about putting the link up on my website, but I'm afraid the FBI would call me a porno site and try to take it down because they do 200,000 massive hits against my site out of my million hits that I get. They do 200,000 a month that I have software that tracks them and blocks them, and I'm able to block them. But they're doing cyber attacks, consistently trying to change my PHP codes and log into my site to take over my site and destroy the site. Now, I'm aware that these people are totally out of control, period. Period. But James and Jordan and James Comer pointed out these crimes Hunter Biden had done, but his father was directly involved. But there is a site out there, if you punch it in the internet, Hunter Biden's laptop, it'll come up, and it shows you pictures of him having sex with his own sister on his laptop, folks. This is Joe Biden's son, and it talks about Joe Biden having sex with his own daughter. That's the website I don't want to hook up to my site for fear they call me a porno site. So look it up on Google. It's there. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, Stu, you got it. Just a late report on Maricopa County that Carrie Lake is going to bring lawsuits. She's got a whole lot of major issues. Conflicts include that Katie Hobbs refused to recuse herself from election oversight as Secretary of State in her own election for governor. Conflict two, Maricopa County Supervisor Steve Gallardo served as a co-chair of the Latinos for Katie Hobbs Coalition and is now a member of the Hobbs Transition Team. Conflict number three, Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richter oversaw early voting, founded and operated the pro-democracy Republican PAC, a dark money PAC, aimed at eliminating candidates who have a mega agenda. Conflict four, Maricopa County Chairman Bill Gates, who oversaw the election on Election Day, openly rooted against Trump-endorsed candidates, calling their win in the primaries a catastrophe, saying, "I think they are electable," which is frightening. Conflict number five, Katie Hobbs threatened to sue any county that did not certify the election and hand her the governorship. She's moving forward with a lawsuit against Cochise County for delaying the certification. These are the same people who oversaw the uncertifiable disaster that occurred on Election Day. Now, it's very interesting that there's an expert on these voting machines. It was observed that the Dominion machines that were used in some 33 different states, Steve, Stu, had not been certified. And that their certification had expired. It's like an expired driver's license. And if you have an you can't get a certified ballot out of an uncertified machine. And he believes that's a basis for repudiating the whole midterm election because it's so widespread. So I'm pretty impressed with that argument. I don't see it here listed, but it's one that could certainly be introduced to aid Blake and her efforts.
Well, you know, these mail-in ballots, Joel, I wish he could be with us, but I won't talk about it, but Joel is in Arizona, and he has friends in the Republican Party and operatives in the Republican Party, should we say, and they have found that the mail-in ballots just do not match up. And they got a lot of dead people in these mail-in ballots, and they're allowing these mail-in ballots. You know, in Missouri, when I was living down there, if you wanted to vote before the election, I think it was 10 days was the law. You could come in within that 10 days because you weren't going to be there on voting day at the voting machine. You could come in and file your ballot, and you had to go in person to the election office, and you had to sign off on it and make your ballot, make your vote, and the whole bit. That's how they did it. They didn't have mail-in ballots. Now they got these mail-in ballots that it's bizarre what they're doing. But Joe indicated they found tremendous fraud in these mail-in ballots pertaining to Carrie Lake. I mean, I liked Carrie Lake. I've heard her. I haven't talked to her directly, but I mean, she definitely won down there, Joe. But they stole the election from her, just like what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly, Stu. Of course, 100%. Let me close, by the way, by observing that this weekend I have a False Flag and Conspiracies virtual conference you can watch from the comfort of your own computer. 24 speakers, 26 presentations, Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday, I've got 13 presentations. Holly Seeliger on Central Bank Conspiracy, Nick Kullerstrom, Euro Terror, 2004 to 2017. Joe Olson, Debunking the Green New Deal. Miriam Hinane, False Flags and Media Lies. Joaquin Hagopian, The Genocidal Agenda. Jim Fetzer, The Death of Democracy. Ron Avery, you and Sandy Hook and SCOTUS. Alexander Baker, you have no rights and there is no law. Alex Scott, solving false flags with music. Nina Pollard-Sachs, COVID-19 and the law. Fred Luchter, the missing gas chambers. Brian Davidson, Connecticut State Police Archives. Catherine Hart, human wrongs and rights. Sunday. Carl Herman, everything is a lie. Monique Lukens, exposing George Floyd. Michael Keane, viral RICO crimes. Nick Kohlstrom, Novichok hoaxes, 2018-2020. Edward Hendry, the pandemic and the vax. Russ Winter, the turtles on the fence post. Giuseppe Vavangulo, none dare call it genocide. Donald Jeffries, hidden history and false flag. Brian Davidson, Masonic signs and signals. Sarah Westall, promoting the New World Order. Scott Bennett, bio and chem labs in Ukraine. Oli Domagar, the shoes of death to our William Binney. You're not supposed to know. You can learn more. You can go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Check out events, and you'll find in advance the False Flags and Conspiracies Conference 2022. If you get a ticket, you have unlimited access for 6 months. So that's not as though you need to watch and catch all 26 presentations over the weekend. You'll have 6 months to appreciate them all. I think it's going to be a terrific program and one many in your audience do not want to miss.
Well, I'd encourage everybody to go there. But before you get off, I want to ask you a couple questions, Jim. How many whistleblowers, U.S. federal whistleblowers, you're one. I mean, you're classified as one, taking the Sandy Hook to the Supreme Court. I mean, you go into that category. You know, how many whistleblowers could you count today that are classified as U.S. federal whistleblowers that are alive?
I'm not sure the answer to that, Stu. I mean,
I was looking at the other day. William Binney, Debbie Davis, Paul Register, myself, you, and there's a couple others. I forgot their names right offhand. I don't know how many others are still alive. I've gone back and tried to count the whistleblowers dead to do a report on it, and it's over 100 in the past decade and a half that are dead mysteriously. Half of them died of cancer, probably from sonar technology, and the other half were suicided. You got Gary Webb that died. You know, he was working with Gene Chip Tatum, myself, and others about that. About the drugs coming into California. He's dead after writing his book. I mean, I look back at things and I'm saying to myself, where are the people standing up behind this stuff? They're all scared. It's like there's no guts to them. You know, maybe it's because I was trained as an Uncle Sam's misguided child that I have the balls to go out here and do something about it. Other people need to start doing something. Get in the masses, get the school boards, like General Flynn said. Get down there for your city councils. Get down there before your state representatives and start putting heat on to make change. You don't like what they're doing and allowing them to bring us into a new world order where their intent is to kill two-thirds of mankind and leave 100 million in the U.S. within 2 to 4 years? Everybody's taking the vaccination. You're dead. You're cooked. You're done. And that's supposedly 80% of the American people, according to Dr. Tenpenny. We need to do something about this now. Otherwise, you will find yourself in a situation to where you're going to find National Guard troops, the U.S. military, the local police, and everybody hunting you down because you have a gun or you're outspoken. That's what it's going to come to. We're coming into that stage in life and that part in reality. Now, Jim, I want you to hold on after we get off here. I'm going to shut the mic down. Do you have any last words?
Well, I think most Americans are hard-pressed, you know, just to keep food on the table and a roof over their heads, too. And when you got a corrupt Department of Justice, the FBI, it's very hard to... I think this development with Twitter, with... Elon Musk is making a difference, and I think it's going to have a handsome payoff, and I'm applauding him. Let me mention, too, Stu Peters has a sensational video out called Died Suddenly that had millions of viewers within the first hour and a half of its release. It's really expert in laying out the COVID and the profundity of the deaths brought about by the vax. I want to encourage everyone to watch it.
It is.
So I see Harry Lake, Stu Peters, and Elon Musk as three champions of freedom and liberty here in the United States today, and I praise them as strongly as I can.
And I have a link up there on my breaking news column about death suddenly. Now,
died suddenly, yes.
Died suddenly. Now, there's one thing I would ask you. Donald Trump has Truth Social. A friend of mine in the CIA says it should be renamed Truth Network Today or Truth Network. It should be something different to grab people's attention, because we need to take not only Twitter now, but we need to take Truth Social and start turning it into a machine that overrides mainstream media and the opinion of Facebook. I've been kicked off of Facebook and Twitter for over 4 to 5 years. I got accounts up there, and they won't even allow me into my account, Jim. And there's a lot of stuff that isn't even there anymore. I took it off my website. And I even have Twitter trying to log in. I've had Facebook trying to log into my website. People running that. The government's running. It's just like Google, folks. It's a CIA company. Google is a CIA company, and I can prove it. And I can show you where Google's done massive attacks, even logins. They're using these companies to do it, to try to attack websites and try to attack the truth. And I have the proof and evidence. And I'd love to get before a grand jury and burn them on it. I can put them all in jail. But you can't get before justice in America. The only justice is the American people bringing the truth out. So I would encourage everybody to start loading down on now, since we got Face or Twitter back open, and I'm going to try to get my account back open, and I suggest that people start getting on Truth Social and start putting out the truth. Donald Trump's group, and it'll be renamed Truth Network Today. But give out your date and your time on your event again, Jim. It's jamesafetzer.org, correct?
Yeah, jameshfetzer.org. The conference is this coming Saturday and Sunday. My case, my petition for rehearing is before the Supreme Court on Friday. I should learn Monday whether they're going to issue a writ of certiorari, and I'm hoping they will as a birthday present, because on the 6th, on Tuesday, I'll be celebrating my 82nd.
Well, congratulations. And Jim, I want to say one last thing is, we're possibly a diesel shortage. I've heard about it for over a month. And I'm in Walmart one day, and I mentioned to the manager, because I saw him in the aisle, and he says, it's already started. We're already being told we're not going to have truck deliveries soon. He said, it already started. Now, mention about the Amtrak situation and the possible diesel shortage real quick.
Well, it's possible there's going to be an Amtrak strike just for better pay, wages, and work conditions, but it would compound the situation with the diesel shortage, which has been what we've been warned about. Mike Adams has had several articles about it. It's very serious and significant. So if you have the opportunity to do any preparation for what may be a fairly long-lasting food shortage, you ought to do it as early as possible. Do it now.
Yeah, do it now is right, because I'm hearing by December the 15th, we're going to have half Walmart shut down as far as the supply into Walmarts, and we're going to have a problem. But with that said, Jim, I want to thank you very much. I'd ask for you to stay on for a moment. I'm going to kill the microphone. And next show we do, folks, I hope to be live with Jim Fetzer, where you can see my face, his face, and I'm going to start doing my radio shows that way. Anyway, with that said, I want to thank you once again, Jim Fetzer.
My pleasure, sir.